Okay. Yeah, I found out why the last time I recorded it failed, because it was a double click by accident, which is just a glitch. It's November 3rd, 2022, 12:04 hours. Ward Green here. New package just came. This is the other orthotic should be in here, hopefully, but we'll see. The let me check. I should have checked. Before I do anything, I need to check the front door momentarily to see whether anything else arrived. But I don't think anything has. But, you know, because I didn't get a notice when the other... these are the insoles. That's what I want to see. They look actually very, very substantial in the thickness. There, that's an orthotic insole. Looks like it has significant arch support too. I think these might be good. These are not expensive. They were not the, you know, it was more like $20 or $15 or something. Well, wait a minute. Maybe I could find out here. Let's see. I'd like to know what they cost. I just woke up and I got a great, a long sleep last night, but I couldn't get to sleep at first because I went to bed very early. I was hungry, so I had to get up and eat something. Then I chewed some of my xylitol gum and went back to bed. So this is my, here it is. Yeah, they're not, I don't think they're expensive. $15. It's incredible. It looks like it's worth more than $15 compared. I mean, just based on the fact that the other ones were 50. You know, the ones that look like, I'm going to open this. I can't wait to see these in real life, in actual full glory here. I want to see. But I mean, I'll have to try them. I'm not going to try them right now, I don't think, because we have a study I want to do here. I would like to try these, but as soon as possible, I'll probably be trying them today because I'm hoping to go out and work outside on some various things, whatever. You know what? Yeah. I guess if we get a rainy day, I'll do some chainsaw sharpening or something, or I'll do stuff. Oh, look at this. It's got, okay, I have to cut that. I could have damaged them if I didn't cut off this little plastic tie. Little plastic ties that we always used to get these. Years ago, that was the most, very common. I don't know. I just pull it, you sort of yank it off. I yanked it off with the scissors. I didn't try to cut it because I don't want to cut anything important. There they are. Okay, so this is the most amazing feeling. They feel amazing in terms of the rubber or whatever, plastic or rubber, foam, whatever it is. They feel amazing. Okay, we'll come back to those in a brief second here. That's what they look like. Air Plus. Oh my goodness. No, they really look good. And they're sticky on the bottom. They're very sticky on the bottom, on the heel pad, so that's going to stick to the shoe. That heel pad is extremely sticky. The rest of it is, the black part. Let's lay it down upside down so it doesn't, that's not sticky, but this is really sticky. It's like, it's an adhesive. It's intended to be an adhesive. We're going to come back to those in just a, I can't wait to try those. That's going to be great. So I don't have to have a $50 insole. I don't have to have two $50 insoles in my boots. I can have maybe one $50 insole and a $15 insole. $65 worth of insoles is better. If those work, they look like they're good, but you just don't know until you try them. Like, how deep is the heel cup? These do not have a very... these don't have a deep heel cup. Okay. See this? They don't have a deep heel cup. They have a big pad on the heel. Yeah, they may not work, but because the heel cup here is not deep. You see, there's a lot of rubber between there and there. right? There's a lot of distance. So, but then I might only need these, and I might not need any of the either of the expensive pair, right? But then I've paid $100 for insoles I'm not using. But I could use the, then I can use, maybe I can use the expensive insoles in the Merrells too. One of them in, then the Merrells go from $120 to $170 by putting in an insole. But anyway, this is what I bought for the jigsaw blades. I got a couple of things. This is, they have the new type of shank, but I had to buy the old type of shank because that's what my saw has, the old shank, which is the U-type. The U on the bottom instead of a T shank, which is the new one. The new shanks are easier. I think they say they're easier. My understanding is they're easier to change the blades. Now, those were medium metal. What are they for? Did they say bimetal or what are they? Medium. Medium metal. Does that just means medium teeth per inch, I guess. They're for cutting metal. Those ones. And then these, or this other pack of blades. What, did I get any other blades? Else for these? No, that's it. Okay. So, where was the order? Well, now I can really examine those insoles. I've ordered some Machete, which is a lot less expensive than what I have been using, which I don't even want to say how expensive that was, but I drink a lot of it, but I'm trying to cut down on the amount of tea that I'm using in the latte because I don't know that I need all that much tea. It's just, yeah, that's what I ordered. Okay, something like that. And then this other kit, 12 pieces. Wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, it's 12 pieces. Okay. It comes in, it's interesting. So some of them have three blades in each package. I didn't know that the way it came. But it itemized them as 12 pieces. It showed what you get, and I bought 12 pieces. Okay, what was I doing there? Here? Okay, so this is the 12-piece package. Some of them are doubled up in there, two or three in one slot, and that's why there's 12, apparently. It says 12 right on the package, but that's a more interesting one. This one is all just the standard DeWalt blades. They're all metal blades for cutting metal. 18 teeth per inch, which is just it doesn't, you know, with a jigsaw, you use whatever blade you have, basically. I mean, that's what I find. You don't always change the blade because of what you're doing, as long as you've got blades that can cut metal and you're cutting metal. You know, for wood, if you've got a blade on there, any blade will cut wood. But for metal, you might have to change the blade, of course. You know, you don't want to cut. You're not going to try to cut metal with a wood blade because it'll ruin the blade and you won't get any metal cut. Unless it's aluminum or brass, because anything will cut aluminum or brass. That's what we learn from the jigsaw. I mean, from the bandsaw, but I wouldn't try to cut metal without a proper blade on a jigsaw. But on a bandsaw, you normally cut aluminum or brass as well as wood. That's the thing about a bandsaw that we know. The soft metals they're cuttable. They're doable. I need to do this because I have no way to monitor what I look like unless I pop this up. Okay. Maybe I should put that even smaller. That way, if we get into any music, I won't suddenly appear in places on the screen where I don't want to be. Okay. So there we have this kit. I wonder what this is like. I'm going to wonder what they are. Let's, well, we'll get into that after I... Let's finish the unboxing. Please, Jehovah, here. Let's help. Let's see. Oh, there you are. It's these cutting wheels. Oh, what are they? They're 4-inch. They don't look like 4-inch. The 4-inch cutting wheels. I bought 3 of these, which is the DeWalt cutting wheels. Now, maybe they're the wrong size. I'm just realizing. The shaft on the grinder is 5/8, but these might be the wrong size wheels. They don't look like 5/8. My eye is probably not right. I'm probably not correct. I'm going to measure these. I worry if I don't know things if I just procrastinate, it makes me worry. So I don't like to procrastinate at all. I mean, I learned this sort of, you know, the hard way. I mean, you just, or by necessity, I mean, really. I learned it by necessity because there were things when I was really busy in the days when the last days of my wife, when I was so busy trying to help her, it was difficult to postpone anything because there was no time available. So, but, I mean, if I put something off, the risk of forgetting things, right? The risk of forgetting things when you have a lot of things to do is very large. But that's 6 point. Yeah, it is 5/8, right? 6.2, 6.3, 3. I don't know. Maybe you can't. You don't need to read it on the dial, but it is 6.35 instead of 6.25, which would be 5/8. Okay, so, I mean, it's correct, it's right, it's good. But the thing is, the reason why I'm worried about it is probably not valid, but it's... The interesting thing was, okay, you can buy these wheels, grinding wheels or cutting wheels. These are cutting wheels. Let me read what it says on them. I've got to check. It's got to say a cutting wheel or something. Yeah, 15,000 RPM, that's good. That's maximum. Metal, stainless, or it'll cut metal, and then it says stainless. It cuts certain types. Inoxidable, stainless, what's that? Isn't it just a metal cutting wheel? I don't know. I'll have to research it now and make sure that it's, you know, that's not, well, I guess if it didn't cut steel, they'd have to put a warning on it because it's, everybody cuts steel with these things. I mean, it's strange. It just says metal. Yeah, it says metal, so it's for any metal, I guess. But then there's a strange, it says metal in red. That red, it says metal. And then below that says stainless, inoxidable, and in the French, inoxydable, inoxydable, inoxidable, stainless, and metal. So it's good for metal. But stainless is a metal, but they're, for some reason they're mentioning it also in blue. Okay, I didn't have any knowledge of that, of what that is. But that's just something I need to learn. These things take time, right? They take time. We're going to do that. I'm going to do that. What is DeWalt? I'm going to look up this word, inoxidable. Stainless inoxidable. Inoxidable? Inoxidable. Ferrous metals, yeah, it's ferrous metals and stainless steel, if this is the right one. Let's see. DW8061. That's it, DW8061, yeah. It's an inox wheel, but it's specially formulated for heavy duty fast cutting in ferrous metals and stainless steel. Perfect, right? Perfect. So you look it up, you find out, and they tell you. It gives the little number right at the very top. That little number right at the very top, that's the number that corresponded with this number here for what wheel it is. It's aluminum oxide. That's the grit that's used commonly to cut steel, which I learned only when I ordered these. That's the first time I ever heard of that. But what I wanted to say was that you can get them in two size holes, 5/8 or 7/8. And the 7/8 hole, I received a grinding wheel with my grinder that I didn't know I had when I did my unboxing. I didn't see it in the box. I got a grinding wheel made by Bosch with a 7/8 hole. So that means I can use 7/8 devices that have 7/8 holes, I can use them. As long as I tighten the there's a nut on the back and on the front. If I tighten, I mean, the grinder came with a nut on both, two nuts, one for each side of the wheel. So if you have any wheel like this where there's no thread on the wheel, it's just a flat hole, you know, a flush hole. It's just a smooth hole. So this will just rattle around if you don't tighten something onto it. So you need to have there's a nut for the back of it and a nut for the front of it, and you tighten the two nuts together. They're just smooth stainless or some kind of alloy wheels. They're small, about that diameter. You tighten them using the wrench they give you. It's a wrench with two holes or two pins, pinholes in it for two pins on the wrench. The wrench has two pins on it. So you just use that wrench to tighten those wheels on by pressure. You pinch the wheel between the two wrench faces, or the two nut faces, whatever you want to call those things. I'm going to call them nuts for now. You just pinch the thing between those two faces of those two nuts, and then that holds it, right? So that's how that works. But the thing is, the one that I got with the Bosch was a 7/8 hole, which seems like the wrong size. Shouldn't it be 5/8? So the nuts are big enough. The thing is, the nuts they give you are big enough that they'll even be, they're about that big. So they're big enough to cover, that's the diameter, so they're big enough to cover a bigger hole, like 7/8. So it'll work with a 7/8 or a 5/8 hole. But it's not going to be centered. Right? I mean, the wheel won't be centered on the shaft of the grinder, though, because it's a bigger hole, right? It's going to be able to move around. So how do you center the wheel? I don't know that. That doesn't, you know, immediately come to mind. So anyway, this is fascinating. This is more interesting almost than the other unboxing, because these teeth are more varied in the different types of teeth here. We got they're all Bosch. These are all Bosch. These are Bosch jigsaw. So they're actually designed by the company that made the jigsaw that I own. So that's good. It's multi-purpose, basic. Yeah. So there's some high HCS is high carbon steel. So these two, both of these two on this side, these two on the end here, they're high carbon steel. They say HCS down there. And, you know, high carbon steel is very tough but brittle. You know, hard but brittle. And then you get high speed steel. I don't know if we have any of those, but that's been used to cut... Well, I had some hollow ground high-speed steel. You can cut steel with high-speed steel, but it's not as tough. So nowadays, it's not as tough as, I mean, it's not as tough as cobalt steel, cobalt alloy steel, which is what they use nowadays because it's, they figured out how to make it more efficiently, I guess, or they just learned how to use it, how to do it. So there's some cobalt probably steel here. Wow, Swiss made. Yeah, they're all Swiss made. They're made in Switzerland, all of these. Isn't that great? That's amazing. There's some clean, there's clean wood for clean cuts for wood. That's these two over here with these two fingers. These two. Oh, I got some dirt under that nail. That fingernail needs to be cut too. I need to cut these nails before they break off or something happens. You know, could be painful if they break too deep. What? How did the, I don't know. I guess I was outdoors doing something. I broke out my other, my new pair of steel leather gloves yesterday too. But I think I don't really want to use those for doing yard work other than tree cutting. So probably, I tested them. Now I can put them back in the cupboard for another day. But these are the clean wood cuts. For, you know, these two were the, for the clean cuts in wood. They're all the same, I think. And then there's speed cuts in wood. Just, you know, bigger teeth, fewer teeth per inch. Wider spacing for the teeth. And then there's these. What are these for? I think these are the steel cutting. Yeah, high-speed steel. Oh, it's high-speed steel. Yeah, HSS. It does say HSS. But these might have cobalt in them. Or they might have cobalt. That's what I'm thinking. HSS means right there. Yeah, HSS. HSS means high speed steel, and that is for cutting steel. But it possibly, I think it's probably, they're both basic metal cut, but they have very fine teeth. Very, the blades are very. Basic, it says, but the teeth size, you can't even see the teeth on the cam, probably, they're so small. Very, very finely spaced teeth for cutting steel. That's good. So I could cut wood or steel or anything, plastic or anything, with this set of blades. I need to put that somewhere where I'll find it. Now, I could lose this stuff as I have so many different things going on. So, let me just put this away here. Put it away. Yeah. Just putting it at the top of the stairs. I guess this orthotics I'm going to read. Yeah, I'm going to keep. I'll keep the cardboard that came with the orthotic because I probably want to read it. I put it with the other orthotic boxes I had. They came in boxes. These orthotics are absolutely amazing looking. Oh my goodness. Well, maybe I'll have to do another video for that. That I think I might. Maybe I will, but it's, you know, I want to try those. And then maybe I could do a video for that. But that's it. That's that package. It's arrived. So, is this, it's a little too bright. We've got the heater shining on my face. I'm going to turn that off maybe if it gets too hot. Yeah, there we go. I'm toasty warm though. I'm toasty warm. With all my down clothes on, I'm warm. So, there are scams, you know. Like this morning, my email had a message, a scam, for certain. from a strange email address that made no sense. But it was a, you know, you should always check the email address from which the mail comes and see whether it makes any sense. But if it's not solicited mail, you should always be suspicious anyway, you know, about, and don't answer any of those mails. I always delete them, but I also block them so that there's no way they can use that address anyway ever again. But it's not like they would ever use it again, but it prevents me ever having to deal with that, with messages from that address ever again. So but it was a scam about undelivered mail. So I had this box that didn't get delivered, right? Of the workbench box didn't get delivered. So that was the scam. Perhaps those same people might be the people who sent me this email. It could be that, but it's hard to say. Whoever, I mean, that would mean, that would be pretty bad, because that would mean that whoever didn't, I mean, whoever, well, we don't know who, we don't know what happened to the box. We don't know. To the other workbench right now, we still don't know. So, but that's a little bit suspicious. I doubt that anything's going to ever reappear, like, you know, I'm not going to be chasing it, because like I said, the principle there is the proverb. Yeah. So if I look up Proverbs 23:5. Do not toil to gain riches, in verse 4. Have you caused your eyes to glance at it when it is nothing? For without fail it makes wings for itself like those of an eagle and flies away toward the heavens. Do not toil to gain riches. So if I'm trying to say, well, I'm trying to get that money, trying to get my money back for something that I got robbed, that's chasing riches, chasing money. It's I'm going after money. I'm working. I'm you know, I'm doing more than I should. I'm exerting myself, which, you know, in a way that could be considered toil, to try to get money. Right. It's wrong to do that. But the other, it's just wrong, because the thing is, money, literally or figuratively actually, but it sounds like it's literal here, which is a good, it's a really good description of it, that money sprouts wings for itself like an eagle and flies away toward the heavens. That's what you need to know about money. You shouldn't chase it. Yeah, there's a reason not to chase it. But there's another thing. There's more than that. There's more than that, okay? It's, no matter, we know, yeah, it's just the fact that life is never without problems. We know that. So it's just a question of when the problems happen, how they happen. There are going to be problems. You can't avoid the problems entirely. So when they come, you should be aware that they were going to come. You know, just remember you were going to have problems, and that was always a given. So when the problem comes, recognize it for what it is. That's one of the problems that I was expecting would come, a problem, you know, because of the corrupt world. The you know, the devil is not he's not just, you know, a very uncommon thing, or he's not a, He's not somebody who's hard to find in the world, because let's go to 1 John 5:19. It says, the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one, even though we know we originate with God. The whole world. In other words, the whole powerful world is lying in the power of the wicked one. And the wicked one could be called, we could think of him as being Satan, but it could be any wicked one who is an accessory of Satan, or who is a servant of Satan. Anybody who serves Satan could be that wicked one. So say it's widespread, though. It's the whole world is lying in the power of the devil. So we shouldn't fight against it. If things go bad for us, we should accept that and move on, immediately move on. And also, we could take it as discipline. It can give us a lot more discipline to focus on the things that we do have control over. And that's what it does for me. I remember when I was doing my, when I was writing my songs, we had all kinds of problems with dealing with the outside, the other people in the world. I mean, dealing with the world, doing business with people, you would have things that you wouldn't be pleased with the quality of the work that was done or whatever it was. There were always things that we weren't happy with, because they weren't done in the way that we would have liked them to be done. Or that's why I realized we had to do our own everything, if we could. We had to do everything as much as we could. We had to do it ourselves, and not let other people, not contract it out to other people, because other people generally were not capable of doing it in the way we wanted, or there were just reasons why it wouldn't be as perfect. You know, it wouldn't be as close to perfect if someone else did it. But there was just always something that you'll notice, that especially anyone who has high standards and wants things done to a high standard will have trouble hiring people to do things for them, because the standards in the world are not the highest, and that's probably because the world is in the power of the wicked one too, and because other people are in the world. Everybody, all the standards drop. Because there is this corruption that allows the standard to drop. So when you're not spending your time raising your standards or putting your effort into high quality work, then you're spending time on doing things that are corrupt. And that time that you could have been spending on putting your efforts into keeping your standards higher or raising your standards is being used to do something else, to do something evil, like stealing or doing something else, pleasure seeking or whatever it is. In the world, there's a lot of, now we all are guilty of being susceptible, or what's the word? We're all guilty of. We're sinful. We're sinful, inherently sinful. We have the ability to do sin very easily. So we're not. It's not that we judge them. That's the other thing. Yeah. We know it's corruption. We don't spend our time judging them. I mean, you can try that. You can try to go out and try and judge everybody and make them feel bad because they don't do good enough quality work, or and see how that works for you. But I've found that doesn't really work at all. I mean, I didn't do that except when I was younger. You know, when you're younger, you might try to do that. You might try to think you can raise people's standards by criticizing them, but you can't help people by criticizing them. So the best you can do, I mean, that's what I learned. The best you can do is by showing them how to do it by setting a good example. So that means you have to take these bad things in stride, because your efforts have to go into your own standards and keeping your own standards high. And forget about, you know, we don't forget the bad things that happen to us. We just use them to learn and to discipline ourselves, but to learn what to, you know, what to do in the future that might prevent these bad things from happening to us, whether it's because someone stole from us or whatever. But I mean, it's not like somebody stole anything. It's not like I have to keep everything under lock and key all the time because I'm afraid people are going to steal it from me. Nobody stole anything that was just lying around. It was just something that should have been delivered wasn't delivered, right? So anything could have happened. We don't know why. But Jehovah knows why, so I don't need to know why. Somebody might be benefiting from that product. Maybe they didn't have any more of that product. But if that were the case, Amazon could have refunded me some of the money, right? So they didn't. But whatever the reason, who am I to say that I should have that money and not somebody else? I don't go there. That's not my province. You know, it didn't prevent this other package being delivered. You know, I mean, it's not like it happens on every delivery. Who am I to say where the money, where some amount of money belongs, in whose hands it belongs? Who am I to say that? It doesn't matter how big an amount of money it is either. If we lost $5,000 when we dealt with a funeral company, you know, I mean, a funeral those companies that help with funerals and things, whatever they're called, a funeral company, you know, an undertaker, I guess, basically, but a cemetery. We dealt with a cemetery. I mean, they happen to be a cemetery as well. They don't have to be, but in this case, they were. So we dealt with this a cemetery, and it was a company that was not particularly helpful, but they also knew that the law was on their side and that we would have to do things a certain way because of this law that was in place, and they had experience with the law. I knew full well that I knew the law well enough to know that whatever I signed, the contract I signed would be problematic. And I was, at the time I signed it, because we were being pressured into signing it, I knew that I could walk and just say that I might have to walk later. I might have to say, kiss that $5,000. Kiss that $5,000 goodbye, whatever it was, you know. I knew that. It was probably $3,800 plus something. You know, it was the land we had bought plus something else. But we couldn't get a refund on the land by law. We had to resell it. And the person who we dealt with was almost, his attitude was, it seemed to be that he was triumphant, or he thought it was some kind of a, he didn't see us as people who needed help. It seemed to me he was, he was somebody who wanted to win some kind of a game that he was playing against us. That's the way it seemed to me. But anyway, we just didn't want to deal with those people. So we both decided, Ann and I decided to just say goodbye to them. And in the way that we just gave up the money rather than trying to sell that land, which we could have done, to try to get the money back. But that was $5,000. But the benefit of that is when you give up or lose money of any amount, the more you lose, the more you learn. So I got $5,000 worth of learning from that. I learned $5,000 worth of stuff from that on how to save money, how to avoid losing money. You know, I learned $5,000 worth. That's what's going to happen if you lose money. You learn. So why would you try to prevent losing it? That's such an immature attitude about money. It's just it's a lack of understanding about money. So, I mean, it sounds to most people. Now, my wife, if she'd been healthy, she might have gone after that money or figured out a way to, you know. But I'm not that way. You know, so, I mean, each person's different. If somebody, like if my wife loses, you know, she wouldn't want to lose $10, and she'd probably chase it to the ends of the earth to figure out how to get that $10 back or something. But that's fine if you want to do that. If that's the way if you feel that that's right, if you believe that's right, then you have to do that, obviously. But it's not for me. Because I know that I can learn from that, and I'm not going to learn anything by chasing after people who are not even wise enough to keep track of. If they can't even keep track of what package is what is whose and where it is, why would going after them help me to learn from them how to lose packages? Is that what I want to do? I don't want to learn anything from them. So it doesn't make any sense to me, but somebody else might find it interesting or valuable or useful to chase after that money. And I'm not, it's not trying to justify. I don't need to justify my behavior. I'm just explaining it. I'm not trying to justify it. I mean, if I felt there was any chance to get the money back too, why wouldn't I go after it? The thing is, I don't know. Only Jehovah knows whether that money can be gotten back or not. And he's telling me don't, you know. He's telling me there's no real hope for that, you know. I could go to the credit card company and say, well, is there some way I can get the money back from the credit card company? Maybe they can revoke some of the money that they paid Amazon. But I don't know who took the. If it was stolen, I don't know who took it. It could have been somebody stole it off of my property. So then Amazon would be out that money, and I'd be putting a burden on Amazon that I could absorb myself, and I could learn from that loss instead of putting the burden on Amazon. So, right, I'm going to benefit by not chasing it. More than I will by chasing it. Because if I put a burden on Amazon later, then I'd have guilt about, you know, I owe Amazon money, right? In that case, possibly, I might owe them money. I don't know who took the product. No one knows. Someone knows, right? I don't know. No one knows. No one who lives here, and I'm the only one living here, no one knows who lives here what happened to that package. That's the thing. It's Psalm 33, like I said, it's got many benefits. I learned about the height of my new workbench that I did get. I got one out of two of the. They were supposed to deliver two, and I got one of them. And the one that I got, I can lower it to different heights, and then because I had received it, I could measure the height of the different heights. I could adjust it to. And I could put it at a height very near to my Black & Decker saw table that I just have sitting there that I can use as my other bench if I need two benches close together. So I've got this figured out. It's all figured out. I don't need an extra bench now. I don't even want one because it just adds more clutter. And I've learned other things about how I can fix my workshop better now because I had the $400 worth of learning. I learned $400 worth of stuff already, probably, but I'm going to learn a lot more from that $400. I'm going to take that $400 worth of learning and turn it into $4,000 worth of learning. That's what I'm going to do. You can do whatever you want. You can chase your $400 and maybe you won't get it back. Maybe you will. But I'm going to try to learn $4,000 worth of information because I lost $400. That's what I'm going to do. That's my approach. I really believe that's the right approach. So Psalm 33. Little children, let's try this Psalm. It's not a short one. It's not too long. Let's see if we can become receptive in studying this. Jehovah, please. May you make us or allow us to be receptive in our minds and hearts to this information in your word. Psalm 33, in Jesus' name, amen. So listen, this is not a psalm that has an author mentioned here. It doesn't say it's David, for example. We don't know. Maybe it's a continuation from the previous one, which is written by David. Let's see what 32 was like. At the end, rejoice in Jehovah and be joyful and cry out joyfully, it says, right? At the end. So if we go to 33, this could be a continuation of 32. Because it says, cry out joyfully, O you righteous ones, because of Jehovah. This could be part of the previous psalm, and that's why it doesn't have a title heading, you know, doesn't have a heading with the author. This could be David. We could think about it while we're reading it. Cry out joyfully, O you righteous ones, because of Jehovah. On the part of the upright ones, praise is fitting. Give thanks to Jehovah on the harp. On an instrument of 10 strings, make melody to him. Sing to him a new song. Do your best at playing on the strings along with joyful shouting. For the word of Jehovah is upright, and all his work is in faithfulness. He is a lover of righteousness and justice. With the loving kindness of Jehovah, the earth is filled. By the word of Jehovah, the heavens themselves were made, and by the spirit of his mouth, all their army. He is gathering, as by a dam, the waters of the sea, putting in storehouses the surging waters. Let all those of the earth be in fear of Jehovah, and at him let all the inhabitants of the productive land be frightened. For he himself said, and it came to be. He himself commanded, and it proceeded to stand so. Jehovah himself has broken up the council of the nations. He has thwarted the thoughts of the peoples to time indefinite. The very counsel of Jehovah will stand. The thoughts of his heart are to one generation after another generation. Happy is the nation whose God is Jehovah, the people whom he has chosen as his inheritance. From the heavens Jehovah has looked. He has seen all the sons of men. From the established place where he dwells, he has gazed at all those dwelling on the earth. He is forming their hearts all together. He is considering all their works. There is no king saved by the abundance of military forces. A mighty man himself is not delivered by the abundance of power. The horse is a deception for salvation, and by the abundance of its vital energy, it does not afford escape. Look, the eye of Jehovah is toward those fearing him, to those waiting for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death itself, and to preserve them alive in famine. Our very soul has been in expectation of Jehovah. Our helper and our shield he is. For in him our heart rejoices. For in his holy name we have put our trust. Let your loving kindness, O Jehovah, prove to be upon us, even as we have kept waiting for you. Psalm 33. Interesting, the horse is a deception for salvation. We had that scripture before. That's in this psalm. Waiting for the loving kindness of Jehovah, verse 18, is what we do. That's the thing. Just because something goes bad on you, or somebody steals something from you, or whatever, just because, you know, things happen in a certain way. Like, I mean, I would have, you know, I would have been, what was I going to say? I would have been doing something to publish things every day in the past if I thought, if the time had been right, you know, if it had been, no, it's the time, but it's because it would have taken too much from me at a certain point. I didn't have enough material stored up, perhaps, that I wouldn't have been able to do it previously. But also the condition of the world wasn't receptive enough, or it would have been not the time yet to do it. So the timing of it is crucial to when you do something. If something will be sustainable, we don't know, right? But when the time is right, for doing anything, really. But so when the time is right to start a new endeavor, right? That's the thing. The timing is important. How that relates to this psalm, I'm not sure. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It doesn't seem to be. But no, we want to be receptive to the psalm right now. But everybody to whom we're exposed affects us, right? There's no way that anybody can affect us so much that they can. No human, I mean. There's no human. Jehovah can, but there's no human who can affect us so much that we can. Well, unless it's Jesus Christ, for example, right? Obviously, somebody like that can heal us, but nobody's going to be able to give us all the life experience that we have all at once, right? So, or all the make us ready. Like, I mean, I feel like I've been preparing all my life for doing everything that I'm doing. I've been preparing all my life, but for publishing a live Bible study, you know, for doing this live work, it's not live, but it's live in the sense it's every day. To doing a Bible study, I've been preparing all my life, and I didn't ever realize that this would be possible. But it's a congruence of all these different factors at the same time coming together that enables it to happen. There's no one person on earth, no one human who's able to accept or claim responsibility for anything that I'm doing. It's got to be, you know, or not anything significant that I'm doing. I mean, what I'm doing has got to be, it's from a multitude of sources, a multitude of counselors. That's what it is. That's what the scripture talks about, the multitude of counselors. There is accomplishment, right? It's in the multitude of counselors that there is accomplishment or salvation. But by the word of Jehovah, the heavens were made, the heavens themselves. He made the heavens, it says there. So I was reading about quantum physics, or watching, I wasn't reading, I was watching a video about it yesterday, talking about how they were talking about quantum entanglement. And it's very abstract physics. It's very, you know, quantum, well, you get it, it gets into, there's something called quantum electrodynamics, and there's quantum field theory, there's quantum wave functions and things like that. And they all are rather abstract ideas, and there's probabilities involved and so on, with, and Heisenberg's uncertainty principle and all of this stuff. And to try and think that you're going to listen to one YouTube video and understand it is really kind of ridiculous, because even the people who are doing it don't understand what they're doing, a lot of them. Well, none of them. There's nobody who understands that stuff. So nobody. That's why they're trying to figure it out, because they don't know what's going on. But it's, you know, it's abstract. It's very abstract science. You know, it's not the most tangible science. Like, and it's not like Newton, where, you know, you apply a force to something and it accelerates depending on what the mass of that object is, F equals MA. That is tangible science that is sort of real and physical and so on. But they were talking about, is the universe locally real? In this video, is the universe locally real? And someone has proven, apparently, that the universe is not locally real, which is just a way of saying that you don't have to have a message travel faster than the speed of light in order to have quantum entanglement. That's what it was saying, something like that. It's something to do with quantum entanglement, which just means that if you have two particles and you separate them at a large distance and they're entangled, so that the state of one will determine the state of the other, but you don't know what state either of them is in. If they're far enough apart that there's not enough time to send a signal at the speed of light, which is the fastest you could ever send it, how do you explain, when you measure one of them, the other one is determined instantaneously? How do you explain that unless information could travel faster than the speed of light? And the way they explain it is, the information is instantaneous because the universe is not locally real. That's fascinating to me, too. I just realize now what that means to me is that I can read minds at a distance because the universe is not locally real. We're entangled. We're entangled. So that's how I know that I was robbed. I know that I was robbed because I can feel it. That's why I know I shouldn't chase the money. I'm entangled with the person who stole the money from me. You know, I know who stole the money too, probably. I actually know that because I'm entangled with that person. And it doesn't matter how far away they are. It's irrelevant because the universe is not locally real, like they just said with entanglement. And entanglement just means if you have two particles that, let's say there's two possible states for that particle. One is up spin and down spin or something, and you know that if one is up, the other has to be down. If they're entangled in that way, that you know that whatever state one of them is in, the other one has to be the opposite, then that's just one example of entanglement. There could be others, but if you haven't yet determined what state the first one is in, then you don't know the state, and you don't know the state of the other one either. Then the moment that you learn what state the one is in, instantaneously you find out what the other one's in. And that information does not depend on sending a message. It's just they're entangled. They're bound together so that when one is known, the other one becomes known instantly. There's no time taken for the signal to be sent to let, you know, to let the other one know what it needs to be. Like, you can't, the one can't say, I'm an upspin, now you have to be a downspin. I'm going to send you a message so you can decide that you're a downspin. That's what the idea is. It's as soon as this one knows or decides that it's an upspin, the other one immediately decides it's a downspin. And it doesn't matter whether you measure it. As soon as you measure it, you'll find out it is a downspin, because the other one was measured as an upspin, and they were entangled as being opposite. That's what entanglement is about. But it doesn't require any distance to be... I mean, it doesn't matter how far apart they are. This entanglement is still valid. Oh, I've got some bootlaces. I keep some bootlaces in my jacket in case I'm ever stuck and my boots fall apart. But the laces come into shreds, whatever, break down. So laces break on my boots. Got some backup laces. So from the heavens, Jehovah has looked. He has seen all the sons of men. That's an idea in verse 13. Jehovah has seen all the sons of men. You see? So that's a reason to explain how things can be entangled, because Jehovah can see from the heavens all of what's going on. So if he knows that two things have to be in an opposite state, he can make sure that happens, because he can see it all. Even it doesn't matter how far apart the two things are, but he can see all of us on earth in verse 14. He's considering all of our works on earth. There's no king saved by the abundance of military forces. That's the other one in verse 16. That's there's no king saved. There's the proof right there of why you shouldn't, or why I shouldn't, in my mind. For me, it's for why I shouldn't, but for you, it's maybe the same thing. Why we shouldn't chase after money, right? Because there's no king saved by the abundance of military forces. Doesn't depend on that. The horse is a deception for salvation. We might think, well, I can use my insurance to cover that, right? But then that'll come back to us in some other way if we do that, right? Where it's like saying, I've got a friend, I need a favor, I'm going to go ask my friend for a favor, maybe he can get me out of this situation. In the case of insurance, that's sort of what insurance is like. But then later on, that friend might probably does expect a favor back, right? I mean, it's got to be. You can't just depend on your friends to give you favors and you don't ever give them a favor. So it's going to come back. If you don't accept the loss, if you don't pay the bill and accept the loss yourself, then you're going to have to pay something later on. Probably. So why not accept the loss now? Why not pay it now? Why not deal with it? I mean, yeah, you have free will. That's true. We can choose, but here is an indication that we should be aware of. There's this idea is indicated that the horse is a deception for salvation. We should wait for Jehovah's loving kindness, verse 18. To deliver us from death. And that's the other thing. We should be more concerned with whether we're alive than with how much money we have, too. Chasing after money could cause our death, because we need to pay attention to something else that we don't even know is threatening our lives right now. Like our nutrition. If I don't pay attention to what I eat today, I'm going to die younger than if I do pay attention. So why should I worry about some money that's not going to be able to save my life? Wisdom could save my life, but not money. There's a lot of reasons that I can come up with why I should not chase money and why anyone shouldn't chase money. It's very clear why we shouldn't worry about it, even. We shouldn't worry about it. Because Jehovah's looking at everybody. And his eye is toward those fearing him. It says, this is, maybe it's David writing this. Could be, but we don't know for sure. It looks like it is, though. Okay, so that was that psalm. Let's look at the next psalm to see if it has a title, just for curiosity. Yeah, It's from David again. So the other one's, the previous one's probably by David. It's probably just a continuation. Chapter 33 is just a continuation, it would appear, of Psalm 32. Let's go to Isaiah. This is phenomenal. This study is phenomenal. It's the 13th of no, it's the it's not the 13th. It's 1300 hours. It's November 3rd, 1309 hours. I'm at 1 hour. Oh my goodness. We're not going to be able we're not going to be able to do our study. We'll have to do it later, I think. I'm at 1 hour. Can't believe it. What did I talk about for 1 hour? But I can't go longer here. There's no way we can read Isaiah and also John. That's okay. We don't have to do that much. We don't have to cover that much material every day anyway if we don't, you know, if we don't have the time to do it. It's fine. I've got other things I need to do today, probably. I can't wait to do the orthotic work. So I don't think we're going to even read this because we're at the limit here. We're not going to even try and read Isaiah right now. So, but you can read Isaiah 33 and John 13. Is it Isaiah 33? No, it's not. It's not Isaiah 33. It's Isaiah 13. And it's still pretty long. Yeah. So we're not going to do that. Anybody can read that. Another day, Jehovah always shows us what to do. That's the thing. He always shows us what to do. John 13 is also, this is an important one. John 13 is important. It's about washing the disciples' feet. Right. Jesus said, he that has bathed does not need to have more than his feet washed, but is wholly clean. That reminds me, I should have a bath. That's right. How often should we bathe is another question. Let's go to Isaiah 13. But, I mean, I've got skin I want to try to exfoliate from my legs, for example. I have some skin I need to try to exfoliate. I need to have a bath, so I will have a bath. I've got the new loofah for washing my back. I need to get a lot of surface dead skin and things like that taken care of. It doesn't use that much water to have a bath, actually. But I need to boil some water so that I can have some hot water. And it won't take that much water. As long as I have enough warm, you know, enough warm water on hand while I'm bathing so that I can warm up the water a bit, that's going to be good. It's great having a bath. But, you know, the most important thing that I've learned is about nutrition, and vitamin K2 is far more important than any of these other things. I mean, it's far more important than what people think is going to determine whether you're healthy or not. Like they think, well, people don't realize it's far healthier to live in a colder temperature. It's better for your skin, certainly. But I'm not saying the body should be cold. The air should be cold. The body should be warm, but that's why we have clothing. It's to keep our bodies warm. I've got all kinds of great clothing. Well, I don't have all kinds. I mean, I've got enough, right? That's the thing. I've got enough of the best. It's not the best even, because if I had the best, I'd be spending far more money if I had the best. I just have, you know, very good technical clothing that's inexpensive. That's what I'd say. Including down jackets. It's amazing. Down pants. I've got this down jacket, which would be too warm if I zipped it up probably right now, but it's amazing. I've got the fingerless gloves. So we're going to talk about it. Got the fingerless gloves so that I can type on the computer in the winter when it's a little cooler in here and I just have my fingers exposed. I used those last year. I've got multiple pairs of those just in case I need them, because they will wear out eventually, right? So I don't want to have to be chasing everything all the time. So I buy things in multiples. You know, I buy things, if I know they're a good product, I buy a multiple of it. That's why I tried to buy two welding tables, but it's not that important that I only got one. It's not that important at all. But I, like I said, I could not have justified buying only one of something when I knew it was such a good product, or I believed it was. I didn't know, I believed it was. And it's a decent, it's a very good product. I'm very happy to have one of them. So, but the reason I couldn't have ordered just one is because I would have always wondered or regretted, you know, I would have regretted only having one since I believed it was a great product, I would have regretted that. So, yeah, I've got to sharpen my chainsaw blades, my chainsaw chains, not the blades. The blades are like the bars, but they're not sharpened generally. I think I probably already have a brand new chain for that, for one of my saws, but I have to sharpen my other ones. And I have to... yeah, the one that got damaged, it's got 6 or 7 teeth that are kind of dinged. I wouldn't say they're obliterated at all. They're not, but they're just dinged. They've just got a good ding in them, so that there'll be a significant amount of sharpening on those particular teeth. I didn't really check the narrow teeth to see whether there's damage. There must be damage on those too, but they won't be as if they're just similar damage on those, they won't be as hard, it won't take as long to fix those as it will the main cutting teeth. But the main cutting teeth, I don't know, the point is all of the teeth on that skip chain, I don't know whether it's a ripping chain, I don't know whether I don't know whether I have the right sharpening tool for that chain. That's the thing. That's what it is. So I'll be investigating that, you know, and if I need to get a new file for that or something, I'll have to do that, I guess. But that chain, I don't have to use it right now because I think I have another chain. I can use the standard chain. So I can use my standard sharpener. So everything's copacetic. Everything's fine. But what I'm looking at now is what trees do I need to cut? If I need to cut any more trees, I'm looking at what other trees I might need or might want to cut. Don't need to cut them this year, but any trees I don't cut this year, I might have to cut. I will have to cut in other years, you know, coming up. So I'm looking at managing all my trees. There's more than 100 trees here. Most of them are pretty small, but I have some bigger ones, and there's ones that might fall on my neighbor's yard. So I'm going to think about. I have some birch trees that I can. They're the ones that fall in my neighbor's yard, but I can pull the branch. If I get a rope around one of those branches, I can make it fall more toward, maybe I can pull it back even toward my yard. So that when I cut it, it's under tension. It's just a branch. But I got to plan it out. You know, I got to plan it out because I'd have to get a rope around that tree, first of all. I don't know what ropes I have even. What ropes do I have for this? I've got some rope, but I have to figure out whether I have enough rope of the right type and so on. I should talk about finances too. Got a few minutes. You know what we're going to do? I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'll work on all that stuff, including finances. But what we should do, I think, let's listen to another song. Let's do that. Where is it? Do I not have it here? It's not here. Okay, I don't know where it is. Well, there it is. Yeah, it is here. Okay, good. There's something, a song called, I don't know that song, so I guess I don't want to play that one. I don't know which one we should play, so I don't want to pick that song. Let's find a song we want to hear. I think I want to play, I almost want to play more. I want to play more of that Yosho, Stefan, live in Germany. I really think that's, Unbelievable. Oh, there's also the Emmanuel Brothers. Yeah, I want to... Where is it? There it is. Here he is. Here he is. This is Yosho. I know this. I've listened to this over and over, and I haven't listened to all of the Tom Emmanuel and his brother. His brother, rest his soul, he's passed away. He had an asthmatic attack. He died of an asthmatic attack. Philip Emmanuel, I believe, is his name. Now we've got, let's see. Listen to all these. I mean, these are amazing. Oh, let's listen to Swing 42. Comes right after Made in France. Let's listen to this. Well, let's bring it down, too. Let's get it down here where we can see it. There we go. That's it. There we go. That should do it. I need to make this maximize, sort of, and we want it to be... This is an amazing video, of course. What do I want to change this? Hang on. I want to resize this. Yeah. Bring it up. There. That's better. Now I want to move this up also. Oh, I can't. Maybe I'll just close it. Let's just play. No. No, what I've learned is it's better to play this. Yeah, far better to play it on my MacBook Pro speakers. And it will maybe be sound, and maybe it'll be quieter too. Yeah, it'll be quieter, I think. But let's go back a little bit further. Let's go back to the beginning. Try again. Let's see. here's Richard. Is amazing. I never cease to be amazed by what I hear on more than that one track, but on that particular concert. Live in Germany, Joshua Stefan, live in Germany. Where is it? Let's just try to get some things. Okay. Oh, I see where it is. I see where it is. Yeah, it's down here. It's live in Germany on the channel Gypsy Jazz Lessons, which is one of Yosho's channels, I believe. But Joshua Stefan, live in Germany. It's a 1 hour and 50 minute long concert, and it's phenomenal. It's just fantastic. I'd like to play that all of it for you, but that's like a long, we're already a long video, but I think it's okay. We went over time while we were playing music, so at least we're not going over time doing too much heavy lifting, you know. Yeah, it's, you know, the worries, there are worries from day to day, right? But we shouldn't be worried about the next day. Don't worry about that. We should worry about today, and then, you know, look ahead if we can to see what we need to do in the future. Like, I need to look ahead at my trees and get ideas about that. So anyway, this is Ward Green. It's November 3rd, 2022, 1330 hours. I hope you had a great time, and I hope this is going to be a great day for you. You know, let's do our utmost, right? To make the most of each day, and thanks for watching, little children. Have a great life, too, but have a great day, as I said. Well, I want to have a great day, too, so I'm going to do my orthotic maybe today, too. I want to. I think I will. But let's be thankful for everything. If Jehovah's willing, let's be thankful. I think we can do that. And look at that, 1331 hours now. So that's an interesting time as well. But is there more that I want to say here? We're looking at Isaiah 13, the pronouncement against Babylon, something to consider. But what do I usually say at the end? I love you, of course. That's something I do usually say at the end. But you know, there's always more we can learn and teach. But I feel worried today, but I'm worried because I feel the worry of other people. I feel that other people are worried that they're getting older and so on. But there's help, there's hope in the vitamins. That's what I've learned. It's 1332 hours now. Did the time go that fast? The minutes are going to fly by if I don't end this, but the nutritional things I've learned about vitamin K2, I'll be sharing that in an ongoing basis, but it seems very significant, and maybe I should be taking even more K2. And if I talk to the wrong people too much, I won't. If I look at other people and how they're worried, worry prevents you from taking action. If you act out of fear, that prevents you from taking action in a way that can save your life also. So that's important. So take care and have a great day. This is Ward Green saying bye for now. I love you.